I think we can permit a brief comment and a brief question, and we may have to institute the bell on some of the panelists. But please line up behind that microphone right there. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But to hear Kathleen at the end, my son Harith is 36 years old. I was the first female chair of the Republic of New Mexico.
Mm. Oh, wow.
It's a at 16 at Morehouse College, and he was in major in Imperial. The last 13 years, he studied at University of Medina. He received 3 degrees from there, and he came home to get a work visa in November of last year. The same thing happened. He had extreme difficulty. It took until February. I contacted Danny Davis's office recently because 2 FBI men came several times to my apartment door. The office downstairs admitted them, and they actually knocked on my apartment door, stayed there for more than 2 hours demanding that I open the door. This is the FBI, and I never opened it. But I just want to say that this is happening to people who are well-known and children of revolutionaries all over, and they don't want people to know about it.
Right.
I would like to ask the staff to please get the contact information for this woman, because as we pursue Kathleen's son's case, we'd also like to know about yours and do whatever we can do to help. Well, we need to start our own database, too.
Thank you very much. All right, I just got word we have to be totally out of here at 4 o'clock, which is 25 minutes. So please remember that. Sir, please.
Greetings, panel. Thanks for letting our respected elder go first. She has mobility problems here. We realize what she's trying to put. But I wanted to ask a question to the panel and Kathleen Krieger. You brought up the Joint Terrorism Task Force and also the specifically the Congressman Cynthia McKinney. And first of all, like I said, I've been an activist for over 20, 25 years of different things, and I've gotten an inquiry, that's all I'm going to say, for 2.5 weeks ago. I got a call, you know, from somebody in Asia wanting to talk to me, but it's nothing compared to what you all have gone through. But I wanted to ask specifically Congressman Cynthia McKinney and Progressive, and your comments, Captain King. My question is, what are you and Progressive members of Congress, have you all started investigating these Joint Terrorism Task Force? I've done research on them in the last 2 weeks since I've gotten an inquiry. Have I come full circle?
Yes.
You know, about the Joint Terrorists, have y'all have hearings? Have y'all made calls? Have you made calls? You and Progressive members, and I know you can't do everything. You're for the comment, Captain King, but I think I've come full circle. And thanks for inviting me, brother.
Yes, sir.
Please share the information that you have.
I'll come after the program. I'll come. I've already reported to ACLU. They say on their website, report any cost stuff. But like I said, your inquiries or any Progressive, I know you can't do everything. And to have you called the FBI, have you had hearings? Thank you.
Thank you, bro. Next, sir. Next, sir, please.
Yes, unity is part of the theme of this conference. And the COINTELPRO has been one of the greatest things that has divided our communities and fears. And I heard something from the stand today that I would like to put caution on, because we do not need anything that is going to divide us further, and particularly on the issue of immigration. The history of the black Americans in this country, the history has been based on a struggle for freedom. That's full freedom. One time we didn't have social freedom, couldn't go anywhere, we didn't have political freedom, couldn't vote, etc. The struggle now continues, and that struggle now is for economic freedom. Okay. So when you hear black people begin to be concerned about their income, their resources, in other words, financial, housing, health care, education, Let's not call it something that it's not. So let's be careful when we do that. Maybe I misunderstood, I don't know. But if that is what I heard.
Sir, please, could you?
The question is.
Yes.
Now that's a statement. That's
okay.
In name of time. But I heard that, and that really, I think that's real.
Well, I appreciate it, but could you do, thank you, sir. Next, please.
Yeah, my question is primarily for Ward Churchill and Captain Cleaver. As you're speaking about this COINTELPRO and how it's even active today, what I wondered is, as much has been said about how this was used to divide, has there been, or could you speak about attempts to counter this in the here and now? We know what happened. Has there been attempts to reconvene some of these activists from AIM, from the Black Panther Party, from Republic of New Africa, et cetera, et cetera? Much like they reconvened many of the veterans of SNCC, you know, kind of like a 35th or 40th anniversary, come together. Where do we stand and heal some of this? I know that's going on right now. I wonder if you.
Well, let me just say that in 2001, was it 2000? It was 2000. It was 2000 because a lot of stuff got sabotaged after 2001 in September. But in 2000, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney sponsored a forum on political prisoners and victims of COINTELPRO. I was one of the participants. Laura Whitehorn, who'd been a political prisoner, was another, and Geronimo Gijago, who's a political prisoner for 27 years, was one participant. Tarif Warren, who's an attorney for Mutulu Shakur and Mumia Abu-Jamal and other prisoners, was a participant. Nkechi Taifa was a participant. And Laura mentioned, she said, you see, this is countering COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO was put in place to divide us all and fight us, have us fighting each other. So we had that. I would say that we have learned. We see that. We see what's happening. One of the ways that we are countering COINTELPRO, in a sense, is putting it out there and younger people attempting to organize, coming to us, having intergenerational dialogue, open discussion, and they've come up and asked. In fact, I remember some people ask in New York, a group, I think it's called Direct Action, wanted to do a panel, and I recommended that they invite Ward and Natsu to speak in New York about exactly that. How do you counteract COINTELPRO? So that's not the question, what are we doing? I think what's important is to understand how profoundly terrifying the prospect of genuine multi-ethnic, multi-racial, democratic human rights are to this government. That's what's hard to get. And so once you understand that they are petrified, that they're horrified, that they want to gentrify the world and kill the people.
Yes.
That's what we're up against. We need to understand how we can really combat. But you're right. You know, we're not letting COINTELPRO run us the way it used to. I don't know if Ward, do you want to come?
Before the next question, Mr. Churchill.
Well, I'd like to temper that a bit. I don't disagree. But injecting more information, I'm not entirely sure that we do know what happened.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. And from what we do know, I'm not entirely convinced we've learned lessons. And there's a psychological disempowerment on a part of the opposition in this country that'll look for a way out of the actual confrontation that subliminally, at least, it understands is necessary. I'm just too confused to move forward. I don't know who's right and who's wrong, even when it's self-evident and tattooed on the inside of your eyelids. Okay?
Thank you.
We got...
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Go ahead.
One example. We got what is self-acknowledgedly a federally, corporately funded nonprofit in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which calls itself the American Indian Movement. It's the American Indian Movement Incorporated. It takes in $7 million from these funding sources, and it runs a website. That's primarily what it does. And on the website, it has proceeded to expel the entire American Indian Movement from itself. It is the arbiter of political correctitude, and it is treated as credible because it has a fancy website. The information superhighway is a double-edged sword. They can use that on us. We have not learned, and we need to, that if there's any connection between the federal government, corporate entities, and enterprises that are purporting to explain our politics to us, we have a problem. The federal government does not fund national liberation movements anywhere, particularly in its own boundaries. Neither does the Honeywell Corporation. This is not mysterious stuff, and yet it has been devastatingly effective in these particular circles. This is just one example over the last 3 years. We have to overcome what I call the duh factor, upon which the feds, the counterintelligence operatives, have been able to trade to lucrative benefit to themselves for as long as we've had movements of opposition. It requires thinking, and it also requires arriving at a conclusion that's not necessarily comfortable.
Thank you. So. Mr. Rupert, question.